Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Lizzie Pinard, and I'm very happy to be with you today. I'm a student at Leeds Metropolitan University, where I've been doing an MA in English Language Teaching with Integrated Delta. I'd like to talk to you today about a project of mine, a very small project, which emerged partly as a result of the theme of the conference, Enjoying to Learn, and partly as a result of the materials development module on my course. So, I'll start by giving you an overview of where my talk will take you today. First of all, I will talk about where enjoyment fits into the literature. And then I'll move on to tell you a bit about the background of my study, talk to you a bit about my methodology that I used. Then I'll show you a sample of materials and ask you to discuss a few questions in relation to these. Then I will show you my results and discuss them, and then draw some conclusions. Okay, for me, the conference theme, Enjoying to Learn, had some implications. First of all, that this theme of enjoyment and enjoying to learn must in some way be central to materials development. And why do I think that? Because if it's not, or if that wasn't the implication, then why would the Materials Development Association choose it as the theme for their two-day annual conference? Of course, on reflection, this could have been intended to be discussed just in relation to learning. However, I decided to focus on the materials development angle. Now, I thought it would be interesting to compare perspectives of my colleagues who've done a materials development module with the bigger names in ELT, whose voices have been heard a lot more strongly. Now, starting off by looking at the literature, my intuition told me that enjoyment would probably be related to these three themes, motivation, affect, and engagement. And in fact, my data did seem to back this up, and so these are the themes that I will also use to present my results later on. So these are the themes for my literature review. I'd like to start with motivation. So, in 2005, Dernier started to develop his L2 motivational self system. This consists of three components, as you can see. First of all, the ideal L2 self. This consists of a future self-image of the learner in terms of their hopes and aspirations when using the second language. Secondly, we have the ought-to self. And this relates to the attributes that a learner believes that they should have and they should ought to possess in relation to using the second language. So it's generally related to somebody else's vision of us. Thirdly, and this is where enjoyment fits in, the L2 learning experience. So the enjoyable quality of a language course may contribute to motivation. However, as we can see, it's an or, it's not an absolute. So it's related to the learning environment, current, so not future, unlike the other two, and it's only a may. Moving on then, affect. Krashen's affective filter hypothesis aims to account for lack of acquisition in the face of appropriate input. So when the affective filter is up, learners can't learn. Fine. Where does enjoyment fit into this? Well, let's look at what makes the affective filter go up. So we have things like lack of confidence, worry, insecurity, and or as here, tense, anxious, bored. So of course, these all being the case, these things that I've just mentioned, a learner's not going to be enjoying themselves. Sure. However, enjoyment is not the opposite of these. So the opposite of anxious, relaxed. Opposite of insecure, confident. Opposite of bored, interested. And it's these opposites that enable learning by lowering the affective filter, is I think what Krashen argues. But now, is this necessarily because of enjoyment, or is enjoyment just emerging because these important things are present? Moving on then to engagement. Engagement appears a lot in the literature. Frequently collocates with cognitive and with affective. Now, cognitive engagement, as you know, relates to thinking and on the basis that increasing the depth of processing will increase the effectivity of learning. and also effectiveness of learning, and also enable the transfer of higher level skills, such as predicting, connecting and evaluating. So for example, a consciousness raising grammar based task would cognitively engage the learners. Affective engagement. This stimulates fuller use of the brain and relates to positive attitude, self-esteem, emotive involvement. And these are said to fire neural pathways which enable a multi-representation of language to be produced, and this enables also the deeper processing of language, which is crucial to acquisition and learning. So cognitive and affective engagement, both very important in learning and acquisition, both central. This seems to be widely agreed in the literature. Now, could argue that affective and cognitive engagement equal enjoyment. I would say that's a bit of a tricky proposition. Certainly anyway, something that we can definitely say is that enjoyment does not necessarily equal affective and cognitive engagement. So for example, you could be daydreaming of a hot date, sitting in the class, but you're in class, you're enjoying yourself, but you're elsewhere, you're daydreaming. Not engaged. Now, Tomlinson suggests using texts and tasks which are interesting, relevant, and enjoyable as possible. But for me, I think that the enjoyable aspect of such texts and tasks emerges from the interest and relevance. So some learners are going to be interested and find the text relevant. Probably they'll enjoy working with it. Others, though, may find the text really dull and completely irrelevant, in which case they're not going to enjoy working with it. Point is, it's very subjective. It depends on the learner. Now, moving on to enjoyment. I looked at enjoyment having explored the other three themes, and I thought I'd better look for enjoyment itself to see if it comes in the literature under its own steam, so to speak. So, in order to do this, I started with using Evernote's search function. I have lots of articles stored in my Evernote. And I searched, amongst them, Tomlinson 2012 Literature Review, which gives an overview of materials development for language learning literature. And I found one allusion to enjoyment. And it was being used as an example of a dodgy evaluation criteria. Now, questionability of the criteria aside, I think what Grant is actually talking about here is appropriacy to context and the age and the level of learners. And this is what would be the design goal, as opposed to enjoyment per se. Enjoyment may emerge, not necessarily. I also looked in Richard's materials development and research, making the connection. Found nothing, no allusion to enjoyment whatsoever. Likewise, I looked in Schmidt's role of consciousness in language learning, just for a bit of variety. And also found nothing in there, suggesting that you can notice, acquire, learn, without necessarily enjoying yourself. Finally, I also searched the LTJ database, used their search function, and looked for enjoy and enjoyment in titles and abstracts, because that's where keywords are supposed to appear. Came up with a grand total out of this years and years and years of database, 10 results. 8 were related to reading and listening, 1 was related to writing, and then there was one interesting one which was recommending learners use enjoyment as a strategy for dealing with performance anxiety. So according to that, I should be trying to enjoy my talk now. Anyway, limitations. Of course, big limitation, I have not searched all the articles out there by a long way. And of course, ELTJ is only one journal. However, I did think that if enjoyment was particularly important to materials development in language learning, then it should be mentioned, would have been mentioned, in Tomlinson's 2012 Literature Review. Another potential limitation is that I did a lemma search, but I didn't search for synonyms. Now, this was actually deliberate, because synonyms are tricky. They mean subtly different things. So for example, engagement. Many people associate enjoyment with engagement, but, and of course, yeah, engagement is prominent in the literature, as we have seen. But engagement and enjoyment are not the same. So, as Oxford Dictionary explains, engagement, from the verb to engage, is about attracting, occupying, somebody's interest or attention. It's about participating, becoming involved in. So it's involving interest, attention, stimulation, arousal. Whereas enjoyment comes from the verb to enjoy. It's take delight or pleasure in. To enjoy oneself, have a pleasant time. And this does not necessarily require interest, attention, stimulation, arousal. It may emerge from these, but it doesn't require them. So we could say enjoyment can be passive, as per daydreaming about your hot date. Whereas engagement is active. You must be actively involved. So, in terms of enjoyment and learning, I came up with this diagram to express the possibilities. We have learning and enjoyment. All good, fantastic, maybe this is what we hope for. We also have learning but no enjoyment. This happens. I would argue that there's nothing wrong with it. We'll come to that shortly. Then we have enjoyment but no learning. I think this happens perhaps more often than we might like to think or might be aware of, possibly. And I think if it's sustained, then it could be supremely pointless in most circumstances. Obviously, young learner caveat. Then, of course, we have no learning and no enjoyment. That being the case, if it's sustained, then I'm guessing the learners are not going to come back to the next lesson. You'll find yourself empty classroom. Okay. Now, when might there be learning but no enjoyment? Well, as per the example I gave earlier, if you're doing a cognitive, engaging, consciousness-raising grammar task, then, well, possibly your analytic students might be enjoying it, but experiential ones are unlikely to. However, both may be engaged, both may be learning, especially if they understand the purpose and view it as a useful task. And then, of course, this could also apply to exam preparation students. They may not be enjoying their lessons, but they're finding them useful to learn what they need to pass that exam. So it depends on the motivation. This applies, we can find some parallels between this and music. So musicians who want to play in an orchestra or play a grade 7 exam might be playing their scales very religiously in order to ensure they can play the nice music smoothly. However, hobby musicians like me don't bother with the scales, just play nice music, but not necessarily very well. We fossilize. Then again, we have another example, another parallel we could draw with learning to ride, particularly learning to trot. So you bump round and round and round the arena, thump, 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 your butt hurts, you're not enjoying it, the horse isn't enjoying it, but eventually you learn how to rise and sit to the trot, and then you can start enjoying it. You can use what you've learned in order to do what you want to do. So that's where motivation comes in. Changing what's important. Okay, moving on then to the study. Context, as I've mentioned, is my university, Leeds Met, the materials development module. And three students let me interview them and gave me some materials. And I also interviewed my tutor. And the research question, as you see, is enjoyment central to the development of language learning materials? My hypothesis was no. Why no? Well, I don't recall enjoyment being prominent in the classes or the individual tutorials or any informal chats for that matter. Of course, this could be a flawed recollection. And so I wanted to explore my colleagues' perspectives on the role of enjoyment in language learning materials development. So I did my one-to-one interviews with my colleagues and I did a one-to-one interview with my tutor. Of course, the colleagues were the core of the study, but I also wanted to interview the tutor so that I could be able to gauge any possible effect of her influence on their answers. So looking for the similarities and differences, seeing what she mentions in terms of tutorial input and what they mention in terms of tutorial takeaway. Things like this. Now, limitations, naturally. First of all, it's a very small study due to the number of willing participants that I could have. Then, of course, there's the possibility of the interview effect. But I think in this case it wasn't actually an issue because with my colleagues I have a symmetrical relationship, so they won't be trying to impress me. And with my tutor, while that is an asymmetrical relationship, she's superior to me and therefore won't be trying to impress me either. Nobody wants to impress me. Oh well, it's a good thing I guess. And of course there's my subjectivity in terms of the analysis of my data. But I hope that by using the themes, to collect the data around, that this would alleviate that somewhat. Okay, now, time for you to do some talking for a while. So I talk the entire time, I won't have a voice left. So, before I share my results with you, I'm going to show you a sample of the materials, and there will be materials from my three participants, and I will show you them one at a time, and I want you to discuss them in relation to the questions. The questions on your handout are the questions that I ask the authors of the materials, and I want you to try and predict the author's answers by looking at their materials. And then also, if you still have more time, which you probably won't, but hey, then discuss how the materials might relate to also the earlier discussed themes of motivation, affect, and engagement. So, these are the results that emerged from my data. Now, the blue relates to the ideas expressed by my course mates. The orange relates to the ideas expressed by my tutor. And mixed ones are for any ideas that were expressed by both the colleagues and my tutor. So, these are the general ideas that came out that I thought were linked with motivation. So we can see some are intrinsic, and so example, seeing the value of doing something, the interest. Some are extrinsic, the exam class, which will affect the importance of enjoyment and getting marks in exams and tests. And then some are about the L2 learning process leading to motivation, so giving you a good feeling, you want to do more of it. Now, moving on then, affect. Enjoyment was linked to positive affect in terms of relief, relaxation, interaction, camaraderie, confidence, connection with topic, atmosphere. So all of these contribute to the lowering of the affective filter. And of course, if these are present, then enjoyment's probably around as well. But it's these, perhaps, that are lowering the affective filter. Of course, as we can see, enjoyment might make you relax more and therefore could have an influence on that affective filter. One of many things, though, we note. Then, engagement. Enjoyment was also linked to engagement. Things that we can note is that enjoyment emerges as a result of engagement. So from the interest, the challenge, the learning processes, studio activities, concepts, games with a competitive element. If these are things that students like, if this is what they want, then they're probably going to enjoy when these are met. Now, moving on then, enjoyment. So these are the ideas that emerged in relation to enjoyment itself. So, basically, that the importance of it depends on context, so age, purpose of learning, and also personality, in that it's subjective. It's not important for some. It is important, perhaps, to others. Importantly, that it doesn't necessarily mean learning. Probably, possibly, means happy students, yes, unless they're more interested in learning than in having a good time. And finally, this is what came out in terms of what's important in materials design and development. And you can see the three in the different color at the bottom there. These, the interest, relatable topics, activities, the challenge, these are what the participants think make materials enjoyable. Also emerged, however, that for young learners, fun and enjoyable activities may be more important because these engage young learners. Now, what also emerged in addition to this is that the role of the teacher is essential, more so than the materials. So to illustrate this, I'll give you an example from my childhood. When I was at primary school, I used to be one of a handful of us in my class who were good at English, unfortunately for us, and we had to have special English classes a few times a week after break. And that teacher was the evil bitch from hell. She was horrible. So we'd sit outside the classroom in the vicinity of, during break time, looking like, I don't know what, like somebody died, I suppose, just wishing the ground would swallow us, that we would not have to go into that classroom. Now, we could have been using the most fantastic materials possible. I don't know, I can't remember them, because the teacher wiped out everything apart from her horrible way of handling us. So what does all this mean then? Well, first of all, there are some implications in terms of design. So I think that trying, and my data suggests, that trying explicitly to build enjoyment into language learning materials may backfire. And in fact, a case in point, one of the participants mentioned the materials that she used at school and that they were trying to be enjoyable for the learners with these kind of jokes and so-called funny situations, but they were absolutely terrible and the learners did not find them funny. Well, the participant didn't in any case. I suspect her colleagues, some of them will have felt the same. So it can backfire. Therefore, it's better to let it emerge from other elements, so the cognitive and affective engagement, the interest, and so on. And then in terms of goal implications, well, enjoyment can make learning more pleasurable, undeniably. Can emerge from it, of course. Can contribute to motivation, yes, but does not cause learning. And language learning is the goal. Then, thirdly, there's the issue of subjectivity. So it's better to cater for the different needs, styles of learning, and embody sound principles, aim for the cognitive and affective engagement, motivation, and so on. So, we could then say, going back to the goal implications, that enjoyment is an indirect goal of learning. We want it to be a byproduct. We don't want miserable learners, but right there is a problem. Now, this quote from Gilmore is actually, as you can see, relating to authenticity in language learning materials. But I think the issue of emotionally loaded terms applies equally to enjoyment. Because who's going to say, I don't want my students to enjoy themselves? No. Because, of course, if you say that, you'll immediately be labelled. You're the Wicked Witch of the West. That's it. But what about enjoyment at the expense of learning? For example, Scrivener and Underhill argue, in their arguments for their demand high mean, that we may have misinterpreted humanistic and facilitation as a bland being nice to students. So in other words, not doing anything that they might not enjoy, oh God, no. And then also Hugh Deller, June the 9th, 2013, on his blog, remarks that classrooms are full of clowns with their bags of trips, recipes, fun in large neon lights, and loads of hot air, signifying very little indeed. And in fact, a respondent of the post said that her learners have mentioned that, yeah, games are fine, but they won't help us enough. So this is the problem of where we have enjoyment at the expense of learning. And therefore, perhaps it could be more effective to focus on learning aims and fitness to the learning purpose. So aim for the engagement, cognitive and affective, interest, effective principal activities, and so on. Worry less about enjoyment, let it emerge, perhaps from the materials, perhaps not, perhaps from the interaction between learners and the teacher, and so on. Because now if we're aiming for the engagement, the interest, and we're using the principal activities and so on, the enjoyment that emerges from these is the kind of enjoyment that's going to be conducive to language learning. The kind of active, engaged enjoyment as opposed to the passive, dreaming about the hot date enjoyment. So provided materials engage learners cognitively and effectively, and of course it may be more than one, maybe more one than the other at various points, then enjoyment of the right sort will emerge. And in doing this, then also, the learners who don't give a shit about enjoyment, have other purposes in mind, they're also catered for because they're not kind of being forced to enjoy themselves. On the other hand, if we aim for enjoyment itself, it's hit and miss because of it being, as we mentioned, very subjective. And then it might also just be downright annoying. Because what if students didn't come to class to be counseled or to play games or to learn some great knowledge of themselves? Perhaps they came to class to learn language. Now, of course, again, caveat with young learners being if they're in the education system, then they are going to be looking at a more holistic education. But for adults, they've been through all that. They're now coming to the classes to learn language, presumably. So, in conclusion then, affect, motivation, engagement and so on, yes, they are central to language learning. My participants agree with this, and materials can aim to stimulate these. Then, enjoyment may emerge from these, or it might be generated by a range of other factors not related to the materials at all. But it's not the central goal. Learning is the central goal. And then associated enjoyment may be an indirect goal, but again, as you have seen, there are some issues in saying this also. So then, as Swan famously quotes his learner saying, "I don't want to clap, I don't want to sing, I want to learn English." Quite nicely mirrors what our tutor said about materials, is that I'm more interested in whether students are going to learn language from these materials than whether students are going to enjoy them. And she's not the Wicked Witch of the West, just in case you were wondering. It's actually very nice. So, that's all I'm going to say for today.